Our scripture reading is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the second chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you've ever driven on the interstate between the cities of Madison, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, it's about an hour trip, you'll know that sometimes traffic can get congested. One day as we were driving along on that stretch of interstate, it turned into almost a parking lot, and we began creeping at maybe 5 or 10 miles an hour. And we figured out after a while there had been a horrible car accident up ahead of us, and as we slowly got up to the scene of that accident, you could see ambulances that were there, and a number of cars had been involved in this bad accident. Some were flipped over. And as we slowly came past the scene, there were paramedics working on about 3 or 4 different individuals in the grass. And then at the end of the scene, there was one lone body with a white sheet covering it. Nobody around. That was pretty sobering. And for a while after that, as we drove on, everybody was back to the regular speed limit, and you looked into the car windows of the people next to you, and you could just tell that was quite a sobering scene to have to drive past. How old were you when you first realized what death was? Maybe it was a pet. Maybe you had to deal with a cat or a dog or a goldfish when you realized that something living could die. How old were you when you realized that that could happen to you? And that even sometimes children and young people would die. The text in front of us uses some very interesting language to talk about death. It talks about the power of death. Ever think of it like that? The power of death? The fear of death? That one we certainly understand. When it describes you and me, it says, it talks about those who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. This idea of being chained like in a prison. What a way to picture death, that we are subject our whole life to this prison of death. Over in India, there are some prisons for women where they claim that about 1 out of every 5 women has a child living with her. You apparently, if you're a mother and you're in prison, even if you give birth to your child in prison, that child has to live with you and can live there till age 6. Can you imagine being a little baby in a prison like that, and then as a child growing up and that's all you ever know, that's all you ever see is just being in a prison? Well, that's us when it comes to death. That's all we've known in the prison of this world we live in. That's all we see around us. We've never known life any other way, have we? And it's so much around us and part of us that it's almost natural, even though it's very contrary to nature, isn't it? God has created our bodies to live and to be alive. And there's a desire and a sense and an urge in us to want to just be alive and to experience being alive and to experience life. And death interrupts that. Death, in a sense, is very unnatural. Yes, it's part of the fallen world and this prison that we've been born into, but it's very unnatural. It's contrary to our very existence. And it's contrary to the design of God for who you are to be and what your body is supposed to be like. Years ago, when I was a student here at Bethany, I had a health class, a first aid class, and the teacher came in one day and told us that over the weekend he had been at the mall, and a shoplifter went running past in the mall real fast, and somebody was chasing him, and he could just sense this guy sprinting by, and this teacher said he was at a counter purchasing something, and all of a sudden he could just hear this horrible crash into glass. Apparently what happened is the shoplifter was going to bolt through one of the glass doors, and it was locked. And he just ran straight into it. But what was interesting is that this health teacher, with all of his training in how to do tourniquets and everything else, this health teacher told us, "I froze. I froze at the counter. I didn't want to go out there." He said, "Here I had all of this training, and I had no desire to go out there to see this horrible situation. I was afraid what I would see." Isn't it interesting how death is just so contrary to who we are that even injury is hard for us to take sometime? I have a friend who's a pastor that told me he finally got out of the ministry because he couldn't deal with having to have funerals. What's actually natural is to have an aversion to death. What's natural is to be turned off by death and bothered by it and repulsed by it and want to get away from it. They claim that there's kind of a brotherhood that develops among the prisoners in prisons who are waiting to be executed. And they're the ones that group together and sit and play cards and kind of hang out and watch TV together. If you were to drop in on them and just observe them for a while, you might have no idea that they're waiting to be executed. A lot of things that they can do to distract themselves. Kind of like us, isn't it, with life. We're in this prison, we're waiting for our execution, and boy, we can come up with a lot of great stuff to distract ourselves and playing cards in various different ways to take our mind off the fact that that's coming, but it's always there. It's always in front of us. The ones who have longer wait till their execution, maybe they are a little more flippant about it, but boy, the closer you get to it, the tougher it becomes. But a new inmate has just arrived in your prison. And he's under the same sentence that you are. And he has decided to join your brotherhood. He's decided to sit in your group with you. But he has come into this prison with a completely different agenda and for a completely different reason. His entire reason is to get you out of it. And in order for this to work, he had to be made just like you in every way except your sin. He had to become part of your very brotherhood. And he knows this prison you are in inside and out better than anybody else. And on top of that, his father is the governor. His father is the one who has the authority to release you, God himself. And the governor has given to his son all authority in heaven and on earth. And in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he comes into you in your cell and quietly whispers to you, "I hold the keys to death and Hades." And he himself has his execution first. And God Almighty, who has all authority over death, now hides the power over your personal death in the execution of his own son. Our text says, by his death, he has destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and has now freed those who all their lives were subject to bondage. One commentator said it this way, to Christ, death is not a dreaded thing inflicted on him against his will, but rather something he has consciously chosen to do for your release. Just think of the tremendous paradoxical irony of the work of Christ. The very act that alone defeats death is found in the corpse of a humble carpenter's son. While seated in the electric chair, he speaks to death itself and says, "Death, I will be your death." This beautiful text in front of us that has some of the most powerful law and the most comforting gospel was chosen to be used as an epistle lesson on the great day of the presentation of our Lord in the temple. Remember the day when Simeon got to take that baby Jesus in his arms? And it all has to do with the fact that with Christ now in our arms, we can look at our death in a completely different way. And so, I invite you today to take him in your arms. Your own Good Friday, your own day of execution may be coming soon, but so is your personal Easter. Amen. Please rise. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. Amen.